Hello, and welcome to Save Game Chronicles, episode 3, where two friends of over 20 years play a retro video game, and then we talk about it. And then we decide if the game is worth saving or shelving it. I'm your host, John, and...
I'm Justin.
Before we get started, I got a question for you. What's some games that you're playing right now that you recommend to me or our listeners?
I'm playing what everybody else is playing probably right now, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, how's that?
It's good. I've got some of the same problems I did with Remake in general with it, where it could have easily all been in one game instead of a trilogy, split into three games. The game's got a good story, and the open world is great, but the open world tasks are repetitive. The mini games can get boring and straight up unfair and frustrating. And it's a lot of fluff. It's pretty fluff, but it's still fluff. The game's pretty good, though.
It's pretty good. I'm playing the Dark Pictures Anthologies.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that is?
You're playing those? What they are, but I've never played them.
They're like story game where you just go through and make decisions, story-based decisions. Basically, your whole goal is to, if you're going the route of keeping everybody alive, the route you're trying to go is keeping everyone alive or killing them all, however you want to see the narrative play out. So I've been playing some of those.
That was my favorite part of Until Dawn. I did a second playthrough and just got everyone killed.
Yeah, it's by the same people. So.
Oh, okay. That is why I heard about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you weren't in the process of stealing Final Fantasy VII. You didn't steal it or anything?
I don't know what you're going for.
I'm just stealing it, being a thief, like our game of...
Oh, because it's about thieves. No, I snatched it like a real thievious raccoonist off my porch when it got delivered.
There you go. It's in Sly Cooper, the thievious raccoonist. Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoon is the first game of the series, and it's developed by Sucker Punch Productions. It was released for the PS2 in September of 2002 in North America and later in Europe and Japan. The game was Sucker Punch's first foray into the action-adventure genre, following their earlier work on racing game Rocket Robot on Wheels. The game introduces players to Sly Cooper, which is a charismatic raccoon, descended from a long line of master thieves. His quest revolves around reclaiming the Thievius Raccoonus, which is a family heirloom that catalogs the thieving techniques of his ancestors. The narrative takes Sly Cooper through various environments. It's designed to challenge players with platforming and stealth elements.
I've heard of the game before, but I'd never played it. So when we were talking about doing it for the show, I looked it up and saw that it was made by Sucker Punch. So I got excited because Sucker Punch went on to make the infamous series and they made Ghost of Tsushima, which are both games I like a lot. I'd seen people play Sly Cooper growing up. I never did when it came out. So I thought it was a good choice for the third episode when John suggested it. And we went from there.
He plays Sly Cooper and he's got two other partners in crime, and they're being chased around by the detective Carlita Fox all over the world, while Sly and his crew are trying to get back all the pages to the Thievius Raccoonus, which is like a book that was passed down throughout his entire family's history, detailing their different abilities. And apparently there was five bad guys. They stole it, and I guess they took all the pages out and through them all throughout the world. And yeah, he really wants to go after all those pages. Each level you go through is themed after that character. The one that stands out to me the most is probably Mugshot. He's he reminded me of Tiny Tiger from the Crash Bandicoot series. Brawn, I don't remember what city.
I forget the location, but it was like a Western.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm thinking Texas. It was in Nevada, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
What about you? Anything that you like?
I agree with Mugshot's world being my favorite. I don't know if I'd say favorite, but it stood out the most. I'm be honest, towards the end, like I would say halfway through on, everything blended together for me. So I was just really just pushing to beat the game.
Yeah.
I even skipped in the levels, the two things you collect are coins and then the hidden message bottles to get the combinations for the safes. I stopped going after the bottles.
Oh, really?
I did. Just because, man, it was like there's 40 or 50 of them in each little level. And it's like, no, I'm sick of doing that. To get a little piece of paper that gives me another ability on the triangle button that I got to flip between every time I want to use it.
Yeah, I will say that a lot of those abilities, they were useless, but there was a number of them that, yeah, they made the game a lot easier. One actually gives you the ability to, you don't die whenever you touch water. Like, if you fall in the water, he'll automatically just jump out of it, and it doesn't hurt you. And there's another one where fall into an endless pit, he just jumps right out of it, too. Like, you don't die. You cannot die from fall by some of those moves. So it actually is worth your time to go in and get those bottles and crack those cases.
Yeah, I did it with that. I'm a thug about it.
Yeah, but I will say a lot of them work useless. But if you collect all the pages or all the bottles, then you can go in and open up all the saves. At the end of the game, you do get, it's a little special cutscene, and it's, I guess it's like a, hey, good job, you did this. And then it wants you to go back and do the time trials. But one of the special abilities is after you beat the game, there was one safe you can't crack, even if you got all the bottles. And it's in the, I think it's in the Haiti world. But after you beat the final boss, you go back to that level, open up the safe, and you get the ability to basically stop time throughout the entire level, which it only stops for a couple seconds. So they stop moving for a couple seconds throughout the entire level. I guess that'd probably be useful for a time trial, but those time trials, they seem as if you need to do them, like you gotta be perfect. I did one and I was off by, I don't know, 5 seconds, and I redid it a couple of times and it just kept getting stuck. Like, I kept being off by those 5 seconds.
5 seconds is a lot in a time trial.
Yeah, there was no way I could do it. I couldn't figure out any shortcuts. I don't know how to get through it. I did not do any of them because I couldn't. That one just turned me off and I just couldn't do the rest of them. Did you do any of the time trials?
I did not.
No? Did you ever attempt?
No, I didn't even try them. I grew up with Jack and Daxter, Spyro, or Crash Bandicoot, and they were all better.
So it's funny you mentioned that because, yeah, comparing it to the other platformers of that time, Jack and Daxter, Crash, I actually found it similar to, like, Jack and Daxter. I like Jack and Daxter, and I thought it was pretty close to it. The one thing I didn't like, though, is I don't remember if Jack and Daxter did this, but, like, definitely here it was annoying, is that you didn't have, if you get hit by an enemy, that's it, you're done.
Jack and Daxter was 3 hits and you're done.
You do get the horseshoes, but they don't give you, like, they're not spread like an abundance throughout the game.
Yeah, there's usually one or two in each little area of a level.
Yeah, and so if you collect like 100 of those coins, you get one horseshoe, which is cool. And if you get, oh, by the way, speaking of abilities, there is an ability that later comes up that you can use to automatically brings the coins to you. If you just stand near it, all the coins come to you. That's really useful, and that helped me get a lot of the coins, which if you get 100 three times, you get protection for 3 hits. And then if you go and get another 100, you get another life. So that part's cool, but the only way to get those horseshoes is to collect 100 coins, which that's a lot to ask the player to do. So yeah, you find yourself dying a lot. I think in the very first world, I walked into a thorn bush not knowing it was going to kill me, and then it killed me.
I did the same thing because I misread the tutorial. I thought it was telling me hide in the bushes.
Yeah.
So I touched it and died, and I had no idea why I died until I came back and was like, oh, those look pretty prickly.
Yeah. Like that part, yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. Yeah, bringing it back to Crash Bandicoot, for an example. He is also, if you get hit one time in Crash Bandicoot, you die. But you do get a lot of those, the
Aku Aku mess. No,
Aku Aku. Uka Uka.
Yeah, I'm thinking of friggin' Samurai Jack.
But yeah, you get those masks, and he'll help protect you in Crash Bandicoot. But those are pretty abundant. Whereas in Sly Cooper, yeah, you're not getting a lot of them. I could see where they were going with that, but they were very stingy when it comes to that. Now, I will say, if you die a lot of times, the game will just start giving you horseshoes. I don't know if you had that same experience.
I didn't, but I didn't die a lot on the bosses. There were two levels specifically I kept dying in, and it was just because I couldn't get the platforming down. The first one, I think, was in the first boss world. You're like underground, but there's a bunch of water everywhere, and you're jumping between these like shipwrecks. I remember I kept falling in the water, or at one point I set off an alarm. And when you set off an alarm, instead of a spotlight, it becomes like a heat dome that just kills you if you stand in it. That happened a lot. And I never got a horseshoe for dying there. But I don't think I ever died on any of the bosses, so I couldn't tell you.
Another thing about gameplay is the mini games. There was the sniper escort missions or the racing games. You remember those?
Yeah.
Go ahead, give me your take on those.
This doesn't reflect on the game at all. This is just my thing. One thing, I suck at racing, be it a game of its own or a mini game. So I hated that. The sniper mini game, same deal. Is it like Jack and Daxter? I'll always think about the catch these fish mini game. Don't catch a poisonous one or you spoil the whole badge. I always screw up in those games, so I hate playing them. I get so frustrated. And again, that's not a reflection on the game. That's just, I suck at that. That's all.
Yeah, no, I think a part of it too is, I'll be honest, I wasn't a fan of them either. I did like the gameplay overall, like the platforming like parts of the game, the main parts. But those mini levels, I guess you can call them, a lot of them seem like they might have been thrown in like as an afterthought maybe. Like the racing, I don't understand how they built in the AI. Sometimes the AI was super fast and way ahead, and the other times, once you get in front of the AI, then they're never catching up with you. But then catching up to them to begin with just was hard. And then you're racing around and got to do it in 3 laps, and I hated that. And the sniper missions, they weren't too difficult. Trying to do the escort sniper missions, they weren't too difficult for me. But Murray kept getting in my way. And again, he's also bound to the same rules where if he doesn't have a horseshoe, then he's going to die one hit. Usually it's by me hitting him or shooting him. Since I've mentioned Murray, I think I enjoyed pretty much all the characters. Actually, I did. I enjoyed all the characters with the exception of Murray. I hated him. He was dumb, gumpy.
You sniped him on purpose.
Yes. And then, no, if I wouldn't fail by hitting him, I would hit him all the time. Yeah, I hated everything about him. I don't see what he brought to the team. Like, looking at it from their perspective, I don't see what he brought. Bentley was useful because he's the brains of the operation. He helps you hack the saves once you get enough of those bottles.
Hey, he's the main reason I stopped collecting the bottles. The main reason was I just got tired of doing it, but I'm already irritated that I had to go collect between 20 and 40 freaking bottles again. And then I go to the safe, and I don't know what it is with these early PS2 games where you can't skip dialogue or speed it up. Please. I'm sitting there flipping numbers through the safe just so you can say the same crap over and over again. Oh, my master sleuth abilities have allowed me to crack the code. Fedora flip. Go ahead and put in, and then he finally gives you the code. Like, dude, shut up and just have the code pop up on the screen and I can put it in or something.
I thought, yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I thought you were actually going to go a different way. If you walk by the safe, I've already pushed circle, and then because a delay with him telling you which button to push, every time I walk by the safe, it's just push circle to enter the code, and I already pushed circle. I need you to hurry and give me the code now. Like, I'm already way ahead of you.
Or if you haven't collected the bottles yet, but you just happen to walk past the safe in the level, he'll come up, dude, that's the safe, but you got to find the bottles. Dude, I know.
Let me ask you this. So between Bentley and Murray, who'd you like?
Oh, man, I love Bentley.
Really?
It's like at least Bentley had character. Murray just bumbles, doesn't really do anything.
Yeah, that's what I didn't like him, was he was just, yeah, like, even when he gets the, whatever his objective was to get, he's trying to act cool, and then he falls down, the key bounces on his head, and I don't know, he just looks like a wreck.
Yeah, I don't need to see a bumbling idiot comic relief character in a game. I don't need to personify myself in the game. I want to be the cool raccoon and the annoying little turtle.
But that leads me on to Carlita. There's just your gang, which is 3 people, and then the enemies, and then there's Carlita, who is trying to capture you. I liked her as a character, but I also felt like she was just as dumb as Murray, like sometimes. Clearly, you're chasing after this raccoon all over the world to capture him for, I don't really know why she's trying to capture him, like outside of the fact that he's a thief, she just wants to capture him and take him to jail. And then she ends up getting the credit for capturing the boss that's there that you beat or whatever after every level. And yet she's still chasing after me. Like, why? What? I don't know. Maybe I'm just nagging at the writers here, but I just didn't understand reasoning for coming after Sly.
You want to get technical about it. It's just the writing. He's a thief. She's the cop. So she's just got to catch him. Want to try and go deeper. It's probably a pride thing. She staked her life on catching Sly Cooper, so she wouldn't let it go. And then takes the credit for all the bad guys that he beat. So she has no integrity whatsoever.
Or she just doesn't realize that Sly was the one fighting them. And going back to the dialogue, I don't know. Maybe it's just a thing to do with PS2 or with these older games. It breaks the immersion when you're saying, hey, all I got to do is push the circle button, right?
Oh, no, I didn't mind that.
Yeah, like that bothered me. It's, oh, yeah, make sure you do this. And while you're at it, make sure you don't forget to push the triangle button to do this special move.
Most of the time, I think that kind of adds charm to it for early games. Again, anyone listening, this is a children's game that we're critiquing this hard as far as the antagonist motivation and all this. But yeah, I've never had a problem with it in games where they say the face buttons out loud or anything like that. Yes. But I could see why somebody would.
Let's talk about the music and sound effects.
The soundtrack was decent. Nothing super special, but it was good. It definitely wasn't bad. The sound effects were muffled to me, but I'm not sure if that was the game or just how I was playing it, because I didn't have a PS2 copy, so I was playing the Sly 1, 2, and 3 collection. I was streaming it on PlayStation, so that could have been a stream quality issue or my TV speakers just suck, because I'm sure that could be the case. The sound effects themselves just sounded really muffled to me, like I was listening to them through plastic or something.
No, yeah, I think you're onto something there. I felt like it was the same thing. I was playing it on the original hardware. I acquired a disc and I was playing it on the original PlayStation 2. And maybe it was my TV, or it also could just be the fact that nowadays we're just used to more high definition sound, whereas this just didn't have that high definition sound to it, which that's part of the whole retro. Yeah,
but at the same time, the previous two games we did episodes on are older than this game, and I didn't notice an issue on those. Even though the first one was a remaster.
I was going to say. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, Mega Man, actually, our last episode too. You're right. Those did have like better sound effects. Yeah, I don't know. Sly Cooper, the sound effects were muffled, but it didn't distract me. Like, I know what you're saying, but it still didn't distract me. It definitely fits into the whole sneaking around aspect, especially at levels where you jump inside the barrel and you're like, the reason I bring up music too is one thing that I noticed was the music would change on the level. It would change. If you get close to the enemy, the music ramps up to a faster tempo. And if you're sneaking around, or if you push like the circle button, you do some stealthy moves, the music actually gets like super quiet. So it kind of changes based on the interaction, which I thought was a pretty cool touch.
Contextual music is cool, but it's nothing special. A lot of other games have already done it.
Yeah.
Even back in Ape Escape on PS1, if you would make Spike crawl along the ground, the music would slow to a whisper.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
It's just there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just putting that little effort in there just gave me a sense of...
I did chuckle at first when we first started playing the game, and like when Sly's walking around and like each footstep is just a bass drum. Like,
oh, yeah.
That was funny. But yeah, it's just there.
All right. What's your take on the cutscenes, the cartoon, non-moving type cutscenes?
I'm typically not really a fan of them. I feel like they're boring. In some cases, not in this one, in some cases, when games do that, I see it as lazy.
Yeah.
It fits the style of this game, though. I don't really know how to explain that, but just something about how the game presents itself. I already expected that kind of cutscene going in, so it didn't surprise me. And I didn't really have a problem with it in this game's case.
Yeah.
Going off on a bit of a side thing, years later, they did that same crap in Infamous 2, and it absolutely did not work.
So, yeah, and that's by the same people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, I'll tell you like a little fun fact. In Japan, they actually changed those cutscenes, and they're more of like an anime style. It's still like a steel board type of cutscene.
But it was like drawn.
Yeah, it's drawn like with like an anime style.
That's how Infamous did it. And okay. 2.
And after the credits roll, they play the entire intro, but it's in the Japanese version. So it's got like the Japanese voice actors, the Japanese anime style drawings. Did you get that when you beat the game? Do you remember? Or
I was so happy to have been done with the game that I wasn't paying attention to it really. So I know I got it, but I was like, on my phone, waiting for the credits to be done.
That's funny because I actually walked away while the credits were rolling because I don't know if you can skip the credits or not, but I like to give the people their dues. Okay, they created the game. Least I can do is at least have the credits rolling.
And walk away and not watch them.
Yeah, I'm not going to read every single name, but at least have the credits rolling. And yeah, I walked away and I came back and I was like, what's going on here? Like, why is it in Japanese? And that's when I noticed that they changed the style and everything. And then I Googled it. It turns out that in Japan, they have their own separate cutscenes.
Yeah, that is actually pretty cool. I like that.
Is there anything else you wanted to add to this?
Just since I played it off the collection anyway, I think I will try 2 and 3 and just see if they're any better to me. When I first played Devil May Cry, it was the same thing. I bought it in a 3-pack on the PS2 and I didn't like the first game. Second one was okay. Loved the third one. Then I went back and played them all. And then I ended up loving all of them on a second try. So I might do that with this game too.
Yeah. Well, one thing I can tell you is I will not be going back and doing the time trials.
No, I will never do the time trials.
So unless you're a completionist and you want to get that whole 100%, I don't know. I don't care that much enough to go back and do those time trials. So that takes us to one and only place. So if we're going to save this game or if we're going to shelf it.
I like the artwork. I thought the voice acting was surprisingly good for an early PS2 game. And the characters were good. I like their voice acting alone added a lot of personality to them. But every time I played the game, the whole time I was thinking of the action adventure platformer games, Jak and Daxter or Spyro and Crash Bandicoot, and they were all better. I was wishing I was playing those instead.
Wow.
And I know Sly Cooper is really well liked by its fan base. I'm hoping nobody gets a hold of my personal info and comes to my house with pitchforks or anything. But a lot of them say that it's underrated, and I feel like that word is very overused. It's not underrated. It's well-loved. Sure, if it got a remaster or a remake, I would try it again. But I'm going to be honest. The game just wasn't for me, really.
Mm.
It's a well-loved game. I see why it is. I didn't care for it. So in my personal opinion, it's a shelf. Mm. As a whole, I could see why people would say it's a save. My opinion on this one is just purely for how I felt about it. As a whole, is it a bad game? No, I just didn't care for it. So for me, it's a shelf.
Oh man, that hurts. And especially since I thought you were gonna like it, thought it was gonna be for you because I liked it. It captured that same charm of those older platformers of the time. Like I said, the only complaint that I really had as far as gameplay is the lack of like a health bar or like some type of like hit counter or something. But yeah, I don't know. Thought it was fun, quirky, funny. I hated Murray. But other than that, I thought it was a good game. So it's a save for me. But unfortunately, again, we both have to agree. And yeah, I guess we have our second shelf. So at this point, this is episode 3 and look at that. We have 2 shelves and 1 save.
It's just hilarious because going into this, I was like, I was so sure just because of how I am when I look at games. It's like, I'm never going to shelf anything. I'm just going to save all of them. And I did not care for this game. Definitely not a bad game. It's just not my thing. Yeah, to me, I didn't get any of that. Oh, it seems like a classic platformer. It seemed like it was trying to imitate them cheaply. And again, that's only my opinion. At the same time, the word underappreciated and underrated is very overused, and I don't consider this game either of those. I think this game is exactly where it should be in terms of the love that people have for it.
But you just don't have that love for it.
I'm glad that it exists.
All right, we're going to go ahead and put that on the shelf. It's not going to get stored on the memory card, and we're going to move on to our next episode's game. I picked the last one, so this one's your turn. What game are we going to be doing next episode?
All right, so for next episode, I thought we would go back into the RPG direction. So I chose Lost Odyssey for the Xbox 360.
Lost Odyssey. Tell us about that game. I like have a vague memory of it. I don't remember.
Oh, I don't want to go too much into it. just save it for the episode. But what I'll tell you is it was released in either 2000, it was 2008, I'm pretty sure, for the 360 by Mistwalker Studios in a collaboration with Microsoft. They also did a game called Blue Dragon, if you've ever heard of that one. In the game, you play a guy named Kaim. He's immortal, but he has no memory. So the whole game, at least in the beginning, is a mystery. You're just following orders, doing the story, doing what people tell you with no question. And then questions start to come up as you progress through the game. What happened to Kaim's past? Why is he immortal? Are there other people like him? And it's an RPG, so the story goes for a while, and it has a lot of twists, a lot of turns, and there you go.
All right. All right. Yeah, so we'll be playing Lost Odyssey on our next episode, episode 4. We'll have this out in 2 weeks. Check back here again in 2 weeks.
And Sly Cooper fans, make sure you follow the podcast so you can send me all the hate mail you need to.
Yeah, catch us back here again every other week wherever you get your podcasts. Justin, go ahead and tell everybody where they can contact us if they want to talk to us or just say hi.
Yes, they can go to our website at savegamechronicles.com. If they have comments, questions, game suggestions, anything like that's where they can find us. At some point, we do want to get to where we can play things that listeners suggest for us, maybe hold polls, just because we don't know every game that's ever existed, so we want to hear from the listeners. And savegamechronicles.com.
Yeah, and also like, subscribe, give us stars and feedbacks and stuff like that. We really appreciate that. Just trying to grow our community a little bit. We would love to have you guys joining in with us. Until next time, I'm John. And
I'm Justin.
And this is Save Game Chronicles. Cue the outro.